The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers. Taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everybody, welcome to the show. It's me, Matt Slick. You're listening to Matt Slick Live on this lovely, it's April 18th, 2020. For the podcasters, if you want to give me a call, as usual, all you have to do is dial 877-207-2276, and then we can talk. We're still having issues with the emails. I have to figure out what the problem is. I've been super busy today, and I'll probably tackle it tomorrow, but I mean, I have to shut everything down, you know, and just go in and... Anyway, we want to let you know that the prayer team and the prayer stuff that we send out, all that stuff, the reason we're not doing that right now is because of the email problems with Gmail. All of a sudden, we're having problems. Now, is it because the empire of the left doesn't want us to do something, or is it because something changed? Everything's been fine for years, and all of a sudden, here we are with that. So anyway, just another issue. All right. Like I said, if you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. You can also, I'd say you can email, I think you can email me. I think emails can come in, but we can't send them out. So info@carm.org, info@carm.org. You can email us there, and hopefully everything will work fine. All right. Well, hey, let's just jump right on the phones. Let's get to Matt from, I guess, Connecticut. Matt, welcome. You are on the air.
Hi, Matt. How's it going?
It's going, man. It's going. What do you got, buddy?
You know, I actually was, I recently left a church I had been at for 10 years, and I was considering this other church. Mm-hmm. Now, I think I've been there basically about six times, and but there was something that happened in a Bible study where there was a misunderstanding about something with Roman Catholicism, and, you know, I had mentioned that, like, they would be an example of, mixing, you know, false religion in with the true religion, you know, how, like, paganism and right. Some of the, yeah, so I made a comment, but there was actually a misunderstanding where one of the things somebody said was not actually that, and... But I ended up talking to the pastor of this church today, and I guess it was revealed in the conversation with him that he actually considers Roman Catholicism another denomination within Christianity. Like, he doesn't consider it, like for me, I would consider it outside of Christianity. Because I think they have they have a different gospel. But he looks at it like, the Orthodox and Catholic faith, that those are within the umbrella of Christianity, the Orthodox, Catholic, and Protestant, you know?
Well, the pastor is wrong, and he needs to study, and he needs to understand why the Reformation happened and why Roman Catholicism is outside the camp of Christ. It's not just me saying it. People who study Christian theology, who study what the Bible actually says, Roman Catholicism, its official doctrines, they know. The Roman Catholic Church is not Christian. It teaches a false gospel. It adds works to salvation. And it teaches and promotes idolatry in Mary worship and other things. So he's ill-informed. Now, one of the requirements of a pastor is to be able to refute error and teach sound doctrine. So, if anybody...
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, Matt.
If anybody in the church knows that he's teaching this, and if the elders know he's teaching this, that they're Christian, then they need to confront him and correct him politely and lovingly. And if he refuses to recant and still says Catholicism is Christian, then he needs to be removed from the pulpit. Okay.
You know, the strange thing, too, is this, you know, what drew me to this church, it's kind of like the Evangelical Free Church. And he is Reformed in his soteriology. So that was one of the things that made me want to go there, because he does believe in the 5 points of Calvinism. So I thought, you know, I didn't expect this. This was unexpected, you know.
What I would do, if I were you, you could try this. You can go to my website, carm.org/CUT, for cut and paste. And you'll see a list of things there. And so you can go down to the Roman Catholicism section and just click it. And it is designed. Now, I have a major section on Roman Catholicism, like 150 articles. But this is just one thing, and so people can do quick and slick. Okay, you click on the salvation link at the top of the article, and it'll take you down there, and it'll tell you, it'll quote from Catholic doctrine, from Catholic writings, that of the things it teaches about salvation, salvation through the Catholic Church alone, heaven is God's reward for good works, you merit grace for yourself, salvation through keeping the commandments. You can be saved without knowing the gospel of Christ. Catholics are still under the law. And what's necessary for salvation in Catholicism, according to its own documents, which I read, and the word necessary is in these. And I won't read all the particulars, but what's necessary for salvation in Roman Catholicism is the church, baptism, penance, sacraments, service and witness to the faith, keeping the Ten Commandments, and detachment from riches. So, I would take this section of CARM and print it up if you want, or copy parts of it and print it up, take it to him, and just say, look, do you know about this? And if he doesn't know, he goes, oh my goodness, I had no idea. Well, okay, good.
He said he's strongly against a lot of things. Obviously, he said that's why I'm Protestant. You know, he's not. You know, he is against it, but he just believes that. It's almost like he doesn't see this as like I kept trying to say, well, I think this is beyond just the denominational, like, you know, differences. This is something bigger than that, you know?
Yeah, it is. If I was in that congregation and I found this out, I would go to him, and I wouldn't be in attack mode. I would just say, look, are you familiar with what it actually teaches? And maybe he's just not. But I am. And I will just say it, Roman Catholicism is not Christian. It is false doctrine. And all who die believing official Roman Catholic theology regarding salvation are damned. It teaches gospel. Go ahead.
Do you think that I'm wrong for now? Now I'm kind of considering not going to that church and just going back to the church I left.
Well, yeah, that's definitely a consideration. But what I would do is go to the site and print up the document. There's a lot of stuff there. It's easy. You could just print it up. I don't know, maybe it might be 10 pages. But you could just take the section, salvation, you know, and you could just highlight it, copy it, put it into Word or something, and just print it up, 2-3 pages, I think, or whatever it is, and just take it to him and say, this is from official Catholic stuff. This is official doctrine. What do you think of this? And if he still, seriously, if he still says they're Christian in light of this, then he doesn't know his doctrines, and he does not know what true salvation and the doctrine of salvation is. And then you have to go to the elders, and you got to tell the elders, because they would. This is a serious issue, because this is the actual essence of the gospel. If he were to reject the documentation, say, no, they're still Christian, even though they require works for salvation, which is against what the gospel is, absolutely against it. So I think you might want to consider actually doing that. Okay?
Well, I appreciate your advice. I'm glad I talked to you, because, you know, some other people I told about this situation, they kind of made me feel like, you know, I'm making a big deal about, you know, like, oh, you know, you're just getting hung up on these secondary issues. I'm like, I don't know. That's a big deal, you know?
It's not a secondary issue. The gospel itself is not secondary. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a very important. That's like one of the most critical issues, you know? So.
Yes, it is. But, and it just shows you This is typical of so many people who don't understand biblical theology because pastors and elders aren't teaching them. Now, I'm not saying every pastor and elder doesn't do this or bad and evil. I'm not saying that. But this problem is just so prevalent, and I come across it all the time, where Christians raised in a church, been a Christian 10, 15, 20 years, they don't even know what justification is. They don't even know. And they don't understand what Catholicism teaches. It's bad. It happens a lot. Yeah, it's bad.
But well, thanks, Matt. I appreciate your answer.
Yeah. Sure. Stand up for righteousness, even when others won't. Because you now know this, now you have an obligation to do something with it. You have to act. You either bring the information to him, or you leave. And I would tell him why you're leaving, if you do. Me, I'm different from most people. I will go and talk to them. I say, I'm sorry, but I don't know if you know this. What do you think of this? And then if they continue to do that, it's bad. In fact, years ago back in Southern California, there was a church that was hosting a Christian Science lecture. And Christian Science denies the Trinity, the deity of Christ. It says we're all divine, that the atonement of Jesus Christ was no more efficacious to cleanse from sin. The blood of Christ was no more efficacious to cleanse from sin when it was shed upon the cross than when he was walking around doing his Father's business. That's Science and Health, the Key to the Scriptures, page 25, line 8. And so, you know, I said, oh, this pastor, this church doesn't know this. So I brought documentation to the church, to the pastor. We met, and I was talking, and I was very polite, and I said, are you aware of what they teach? And he says, well, what do you mean? I quoted him this stuff, more stuff. And I said, you see how problematic this is? And he said, well, they have their opinions. I said, but you let them use your facility to promote this. I said, is that what you want to continue to do? And he says, yeah, everybody has a right to believe whatever they want. I said, but it's a false gospel. And he said, well, they can do whatever they feel like. It's okay. They can sell you the church. And I said, are you a Christian? And he kicked me out of his office. Yeah. Are you even a Christian? Do you even know? Yeah. So.
Yeah, there's like you said, there's some things you got to take a stand for. I mean,
that's right.
Absolutely.
This is one of them. All right?
Absolutely.
This is one of them. This is one of the ones you die, you shed your blood for, this issue of salvation.
Yep.
Yep, not pre-trib rapture, post-trib rapture, okay, whatever. This you die for, okay? That's how important it is, all right?
Well, you know, it's always good to talk to you, Matt, and to listen to you, and I hope the rest of your callers, I hope to listen in and hear what you say for everybody else.
Well, you know, I try, and I know that I say pretty tough stuff sometimes, but that's just the nature of what truth is. It doesn't care about your feelings. So I say to people, submit to the Word of God. I was actually counseling online with a group of people, men who claim to be Christians, and one in particular was living with his girlfriend. And another one, the day before I was talking, was living with his girlfriend. And I'm just calling them both to repentance. You know, and I'm not yelling and screaming at them, you know, you're on the way to hell. I said, you need to act like Christian men. If you're going to claim the name of Christ, do it. Live it. It's not don't compromise. You know, and stuff like that. So that's what I say. We as Christian men should not compromise. Not the faith, not the essentials. Okay?
All right, Matt. Have a great night. Take care.
You too, man. God bless, buddy.
Thank you. God bless.
Oh, yeah. Good for him. Good for him. Good for him. I'm glad that he's aware and concerned. And he should be concerned. This is an essential doctrine. And the Roman Catholic Church, as well as the Eastern Orthodox Church, are both outside the camp of Christ. All right, we'll get to Scott after the break. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. I'll be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. Now, yesterday I forgot to do something. I was supposed to say happy birthday to Carrie, and I forgot to do that yesterday. I just got so busy and got so many things going on. So I know Carrie's listening, and hey, happy belated birthday. So sorry about that. And the wonderful Laura said, hey, man, you're going to do that. And right now I'm going to say hi to his... to, oh, where is it? I scrolled up, Victor. Let's see. Where? Oh, man, here we go. I get his name. Oh, man, I can't believe I can't find it. Victor, he's a little 2.5-year-old, and he's watching the, oh, he's listening to the show right now, so I just want to say hi to him. But I wanted to get the whole name because it was written, and then all of a sudden the text went up forward and doing all this good stuff here. So, what is his name? I can't get it, but his name's Victor. He's 2.5, and I'm just saying hi. All right, that's good. That's good. What, boy, man, I guess you, anyway. Hey, Victor, I'm waving to you. All right. Okay, let's get to Scott from Utah. Hey, Scott, welcome. You are on the air.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
We are having a new temple built here, a Mormon temple. And we have these long-term neighbors that we really care deeply for that are caught up in Mormonism. And they've been bugging us to go to the opening, you know, the tour before they, it's in Layton, Utah.
Layton, okay.
Anyhow, I was just wanting your opinion. What would be 3 or 4 questions, like really poignant questions that you would maybe ask them to kind of really stir the thought in their mind about getting out of Mormonism and associate it with the temple? Like, why do they have the temple? You know, I mean, what's the, you know, what hard-hitting question would you ask if you were me going on this tour with them?
Well, I'll tell you some stuff you can say, but we always got to remember that Mormons are loyal to their religion. They're demonically deceived. Sorry, Mormons are hearing this, or they don't like that, but that's the case. And they trust feelings. And so for them, truth is based upon an inner witness. And they feel that the witness of God is with them because they prayed about the Book of Mormon, they got a testimony, etc. So it's all of it sinful, what they've done, but they don't know that. And so if you were to go in and start yelling and screaming in the middle of the temple, Joseph Smith's a heretic, you know, they would rightfully kick you out. So what do you
right.
do? How do you talk to your friends? And so what I do generally in that kind of a situation, if I had friends that said, hey, you want to go to the temple? I say, yeah, sure. I go. I've been to many temple openings. And so one of the things you could just ask, and you go through the temple and you say, I know you guys have a veil in there, right? Yeah, okay. But in Matthew 27:51, when Jesus was crucified, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And the earth shook right. and the rocks were split. And I ask them, why does the Mormon church put back what God destroyed? Simple question.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
It's very simple. And another question I'll ask Mormons is, kind of tell you why I do it in what context, because you said it's in Layton, which is between Ogden and Salt Lake City, and
correct.
So I may just come down there and hold up signs. They're called, we do temple openings. I've done it here, done other, where you just go hold up a sign, you know, and I have a sign as mormonismchristian.com, and just go out there in front and just hold it up. I've done it many times, and Eric Johnson, he does that a lot. I don't know if he's going to be doing, he's in Sandy, Utah, so maybe I'll come down there and do it. If I let people know, I'll be on the radio, I'll go down there. So anyway, so what I'll do sometimes outside is I'll ask these questions to people. I try not to be mean or anything. They think they're doing something really godly. But one of the questions I'll ask is, don't you have to pay a full 10% tithe of your income to get a temple recommend in order to go into the temple? And they say, yes. Well, here's a question then. Is your church then requiring a certain payment of money in order for you to go into the presence of God?
That's a good one.
Yeah. And I've asked these kind of questions, whether there's a line passing by me, and I'll say these things to people holding up the sign. They don't like it that I do this, but I have to ask these questions. And I'll ask another question I say is, in the temple, is it not true that you go in, you do ceremonies, you kneel down many times in different places, you do things? I said, I know you're not supposed to talk about what happens in the temple. I'm not trying to be disrespectful here. But, and I point up to the golden image of Moroni. And I say, notice what is up at the top of your temple. It's not Christ. It's not the place of the crucifixion. But it's an angel. A golden image. And you're bowing under the temple where he's on top. I said, is that suspicious to you? I'm not saying it is. I'm just asking the question. Why do you bow in a temple you had to pay money to get into, and on the top of the temple it's a golden image of an angel? Why do you do that?
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
I've thought of, too, they do their sealing ceremonies, and, in Matthew 22:30, Christ says there will be no marriage in heaven. Mm-hmm. I've thought about asking that, too. He clearly says there will be no marriage in heaven, so how do you guys, is he wrong? You're saying they're going to be married for eternity, so.
Yes, and you can basically tell when a man has invented a religion. Women, power, money. And we know why women are there, because Joseph Smith had over 30 wives, and Brigham Young had over 50. And
right.
And Muhammad, he said that the average Muslim man could have up to 4 wives, but he could have many more. And he got lots of money, lots of power. People say, well, Joseph Smith didn't have all that money. Yes, he did. He had a lot of money and a lot of power. And women. And so there's that. There's another one I'll ask him in line, I'll repeat this, because as they walk by, and I'm just there. And I say, Joseph Smith said he saw God the Father. Because that's the first vision. And I'll say, why does the Bible say in 1 Timothy 6:16 that no man, that the Father dwells in unapproachable light whom no man has seen or can see? So the Bible says the Father cannot be seen. Joseph Smith said he saw the Father. Who are you going to believe? God and his word or Joseph Smith? And then
they do have that listed as one of their books. So,
yes.
But along with the three others.
Sometimes they'll respond to me. Some will want to respond and they'll say, well, the Bible's been corrupted. And I'll say, okay, so it's corrupted, right? So it's not true then, what Paul the Apostle said? Are you saying it's false what he said there? Now they're stuck. Because if they say it's false, how do they know? They just say it's corrupted because their 8th article of the Mormon Church says so. Hey, we got to hold on. Okay, there's a break, so hold on, buddy. Hey, folks, we'll be right back after these messages. We have two open lines, 8772. 072276. I'll be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the show. If you want to give me a call, all you have to do is dial 877-207-2276. All right, so we're having a problem with our email, so they're not going out right now. I have to do a whole bunch of troubleshooting tomorrow. I've got to figure some stuff out. I don't know what we're going to do. If I can't figure it out, we've got to change email systems, so you can see how big a problem that we're having. That's why the prayer stuff hasn't gone out yet, so we're just there. We lost the guy from the LDST questions and stuff. That's okay. No big deal. So now, let's get to Susan from New Jersey. Susan, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm good. I was calling. So I have I have two daughters. My older daughter, she's 26. Her boyfriend is Catholic. He doesn't go to church, but says that that's his religion, and he doesn't feel like he's in church when he goes with us. My daughter, she's a Christian. We went to church, but when she went to college, she kind of stopped going. So she still believes, but going to church to her isn't really important at this time. And I'm just wondering, what you suggest, how I should guide her. Like, I don't want to insult her boyfriend. I thought maybe Lutheran would be a happy medium, but I really don't know what I'm talking about. So,
actually, that's not a bad idea. Actually, the Lutheran, there's some of them are bad, but LCMS, Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, that's within Orthodoxy Lutheran subdenomination. And I went to a Lutheran, an LCMS college, not because I'm Lutheran, I never was, never would be, but just ended up going there. And there are a lot of good people there. They love the Lord and a lot of good stuff.
Yeah.
So that might be, because some of them have this liturgical thing, and some people think church is the robes, the incense, the hoorah, and then you got to stand up, sit down, turn around, touch your nose, and they say that's church. Now, that to me kills me. That would kill me. But some people love it, okay? So it just depends. So that's not a bad idea, actually. Seriously.
I don't really care. As long as she's saved, I don't really care what, to me, if all the standing and sitting and repeating is what you feel brings you closer to God, I'm okay with it. But I want to make sure she's not doing something against God.
Well, being a parent myself with children of that age who are not walking with the Lord right now, we raised them in the Christian home, church, everything. They just made their own choices. So what do? You continue to pray for them. I know you're doing that. And you continue to show love to them. And the problem is, you're the mom. Mom can't say it, but the neighbor can. A stranger can. You know just how it is. I have a friend, and he was talking to our youngest daughter. He's a really great Christian man. And my daughter would talk to him about the Lord, but not me. And he asked me, are you offended by that? I said, not at all. Keep going, because that's just how it is. That doesn't bother me. All right, so what do? Well, if they're open to having conversations, you can have a conversation with them. They probably aren't open to that. I will, however, just say, if they'd be willing to have a conversation with me over the phone, I'd be glad to do that very gently and say, here's some of the issues, here's some of the stuff, this is what it is, ask your tough questions, if they want to do that. If not, that's okay. I'm just throwing it out there. You never know.
Thank you.
And and I'm serious. I'm dead serious about that. So you could ask questions. You could say, well, can we go to a Catholic church, go to a service? And you just watch and see, and then say to him, what do you think? And to her, what do you think? And well, they might say, well, what do you
say
think?
That because he,
go ahead.
He had said he wanted to invite us to a church in Morristown up north where they live now. And I watched an online service and I thought, my daughter's not going to like that at all, because she's used to just going to our, non-denominational church. And I bet neither one of them are going to enjoy that, really.
Well, but here's the thing. If you go with them, it's mom and dad, sometimes it's just not going to work because it's mom and dad. My daughter's going to Europe, and she'll be leaving in a few weeks, and she's going to stay over there. She's got lots of friends. And I said, hey, what do you think about me coming over and hanging out with you with your friends? And she says, oh, that would be wonderful, Dad. But she's really saying this, don't even think about it. And I just say for fun. Because that's how it is. That's okay. But you just never know. You can always test the waters. Hey, I'd be willing to go with you guys to a Catholic church to check it out. Well, that might get them thinking.
Okay.
And if you go, because you're mom, you got to be extra careful, right? And so
I know.
Well, that's just what it is. So then if they ask you, what do you think? You say, well, man, a lot of statues. I just don't see that in the Bible. Why the statues of Mary? I don't see that in the Bible, so I'm confused. And you don't have to say it's wrong. You just ask, why is that? And then leave it alone. Get some talking.
Okay.
And then you could say maybe later, hey, you want to come to our church? And then the question is, which one's more biblical, ultimately? Which one follows scriptures more? And, seeds of truth, and it takes a long time. And the other option is you kidnap them both. Don't let them sleep for 48 hours. You feed them coffee. You tape their eyelids open, and you make them watch videos about how bad the church is, the Catholic Church is. That's another option.
Well, when I told my daughter, I said maybe the Lutheran Church, because my daughter doesn't believe in the Pope and confessing her sins to a priest. I know she doesn't, but she's just with this boyfriend and trying to just, you know, keep the peace, I guess. But I thought Lutherans don't do that, right?
No, they could be liturgical like a Catholic church. Some people like the liturgy of some Lutheran churches because of it. But if this is their relationship right now, it'll just get worse later on in the future. I tell people that marriage, I do marriage counseling, marriage intensifies your relationship. Is it good? It'll be better. If it's bad, it'll be worse, generally speaking. So, yeah.
But will she still be saved if they do go that route?
Salvation isn't dependent on what church you go to. It's do you trust in Christ. I'm sure there's really Catholics who really are saved. They just don't know any better and they go to the Catholic Church. But salvation depends on her trusting in Christ, not a church. Because the Roman Catholic Church takes Jesus, puts him aside, and puts the church in place so that you have to go through the church, the sacraments, the priest, in order to get to Jesus. So
That's what I'm scared of.
Exactly. So here's the thing. If she's really regenerate, the Holy Spirit will work on her. If she's not, she might just move into a false church like Catholicism. So
okay.
It's scary. I wish I had great answers for
it. It is scary. I know. There aren't any answers. I think I like the idea of the questions. Where does it say? Where does it say the Pope is? Whatever they believe, I don't know. I guess I really should get on your website and read up more on what you say about that.
Yeah, there's a lot. I've written a great deal, written like 6,000 articles, and 150 of them or something like that are on Catholicism alone. I've got notes, you know, I've got my notes on Catholicism are 217 pages. You know, I study, and that's kind of abnormal. And my wife would say to me, "Hey, man, you're abnormal, all right." But you know, it's just what I do. And so, there's a lot there.
On the website,
CUT for cut, you know, cut and paste. It'll forward you to a series of topics, and one of them is Roman Catholicism. You click on the link, and it'll take you to a single page. It's very long. But you can just scroll down through stuff and see the Catholic documentation for some of the things. And you might find something that you think might be useful. And you could print some of it up and have it with you. And you never bring it up unless it's a good time to bring it up. They say, "No, the Catholic Church doesn't teach that." Well, I happen to have some documentation with me if you want to see it. You know?
Knowledge is power.
You could say, "Hey, there's a guy named Slick on the radio. He'll talk to you and see how that goes over." You know,
I would love that. Nothing more.
A guy named Slick? Forget that.
Well, thank you. I appreciate the help.
Very good.
I enjoy your website a lot.
Well, good. Thank you. It's what it's there for, to help people by God's grace.
Okay. Thank you. Right.
You're
welcome. And if you could pray for her. Her name is Jenny.
Okay. Joanne, who runs our prayer ministry, heard that, and she will she'll make sure people know. Okay?
Your prayer team. Yep. Thanks very much.
All right. And call back sometime and let us know what happened, all right? All right, Joanne.
Okay. All right, bye-bye.
Okay. Well, hey, folks, we're at a break, and we have no callers waiting. If you want to give me a call, it's 877-207-2276. We'll be right back after these messages.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone, welcome back to the show. All right. So now what I want to do is get the number out and get to the callers coming in, 877-207-2276. Let's get to Mildred from Charlotte, North Carolina. Mildred, welcome here on the air.
Hi. It's great to be with you. This is my first time even hearing you.
Oh.
And I wanted to encourage you because I was listening to a couple of callers ago, and you were encouraging the guy to speak in truth even when someone else was not speaking the truth. And you were also encouraging the guy to give, you know, his comments in a tactful way, you know, not to be too blunt. So I appreciate you, and I encourage you to continue to help people speak the truth. Secondly, with regards to the Catholic Church, I have never heard anyone say what you said about the church, about the Catholic Church being a false church, but I agree with you wholeheartedly. I grew up in New Orleans where everybody went to a Catholic church pretty much. And if you asked them something about God, they couldn't tell you. If they asked, if you asked them something about Jesus, they couldn't tell you. But they could do all this signs of the cross and Mother of Mary and this and that and the other. And so they had no relationship. They were just doing a whole bunch of, you know, religious things, but never had a relationship. And to your point about, you know, them looking at Mary as being, you know, above God, I'm like, what? Above Jesus? I'm like, what? You know, no, this isn't about Mary. So, yeah, thank you that she was the vessel that delivered the baby Jesus. But that's about it. You know, so from a Savior standpoint, that is the gospel that we should be teaching, that the whole Old Testament was a prelude to when Jesus finally arrived. And quite frankly, you know, Jesus was there from the beginning. You know, in the beginning, there was God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. And so when you think about it, God knew, if you will, that there will be a need for Jesus, if you will, meaning that mankind would sin and there would have to be a Savior. So Jesus's purpose has been there from the beginning. And nobody should forget that. And people should try to connect the dots and come to, you know, that realization that that's why we need Jesus. So that's just my comment.
Well, good. I'm glad. And I'm glad you called in right away, a first-time listener. If you continue to listen to me, you may not agree with some of the stuff that I say, but that's okay, because I do say what the Scriptures teach. And a lot of people don't like that. But the Roman Catholic Church is not Christian. I've been studying it for over 20 years. It is really bad, and it teaches a false gospel, and it promotes idolatry, as does the Eastern Orthodox Church. And unfortunately, a lot of heresies are creeping into the Protestant churches as well. You know, that you keep yourself right with God by being good, by being sincere, by not doing bad things, and that salvation is maintained through your effort and your goodness. This is also a false teaching.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of stuff going on, but yeah, I'm glad that I'm glad you're listening. I really appreciate that. So good.
Yeah, okay, and it's a lot of convenience, you know, preaching. What's convenient for me? Oh, if this is convenient, and yes, that's the doctrine. No, it's not. It's just something that you made up that's convenient.
That's right.
And then people start going along with it. And so your point about the veil at the Mormon church, that was an excellent point, because if you find it in the Scripture, then it's valid. But if you can't find it in the Scripture, then you need to check, hey, where did that come from?
That's right. Mm-hmm. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 4:6, do not exceed what's written. So the model of the truth, the standard, is the Word of God. And if it exceeds it, like praying to Mary, Mary hears millions of prayers simultaneously spoken in thought, all these sacraments, you got to go to a priest for the forgiveness of your sins. It's just, this is not in the Bible. And so it's just bad news. The Roman Catholic Church is, in my opinion, and I've said this every now and then, the greatest gate of damnation of any religion on the planet. Seriously.
I agree. And like for Easter, when they started showing the Pope, and all those people, and I'm like, this man is not God.
That's right.
You know, so who are you all worshiping?
Yeah, they'll say they're not worshiping him.
I appreciate it. And you continue to be strong and help people understand that they should try to find truth, not what somebody said, you know, because oftentimes, you know, things that are repeated, they just continue to get repeated during, you know, from generation to generation. Mm-hmm. But you should always refer back to the Bible. And if you want to, you can, you know, go back to the Greek Bible. Like, I'm going to be studying about the Greek Bible in the next year or so. So I can't wait to see what is uncovered through that. Okay. But let me give you one more that, and maybe you know the answer to this. When the Lord gave us the Our Father prayer, did he say, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors? Or did he say, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us?
In Matthew 6:12, it's forgive us our debts. And the Greek word is ophilema. And in the parallel of Luke 11:4, he says, forgive us our sins, which is hamartia. So Jesus equates sin with legal debt. So yes, both of them are said by Christ.
So where did this whole trespasses thing come from?
Trespass is, for example, in Colossians 2:13, having forgiven us all our trespasses. To trespass is to break the law. Sin is the breaking of law, 1 John 3:4. So it's called sin, but it's also called trespassing, because if the Bible says in Exodus 20:1-17, you shall not commit adultery, and you commit adultery, you've broken the law. You're a trespasser in the sense of you've trespassed, you have broken that law. That's what that means. Okay?
Mm-hmm. So do you know what the Catholic Church says? Because, you know, whenever I go to a Catholic church, you know, I always kind of hesitate to see which one they're going to say. I don't know whether they're going to say forgive us our debts or forgive us our trespasses. So do you know off the top of your head which one they say?
No. It just depends. I don't know if they do different or equal. I don't know. It's a good question, though.
But, I don't know. Okay.
The
and
only
I'm
reason I go to a Catholic
to say,
church is to study heresy. But go ahead.
I was going to say, the only reason why I'm asking that question, because again, if Matthew, whatever you quoted, said debts, but then you go to the Catholic Church and they say trespasses, that's yet another example of them taking something and changing it to suit their need. Because if trespasses is really about the law, and they're so rooted in, you know, just like the Pharisees, they were always about the law instead of
Bible,
love, et cetera, et cetera.
Hmm? Yes, but the Bible does use the word trespass. So,
yeah, I know that.
Okay.
I know that.
Right.
But I'm just saying, all of a sudden, where did this trespasses come from in the Our Father prayer? And I've been meaning to look that up, but I just haven't done so yet.
Well, it might be because it's the Greek word is paraptomos, and it deals with trespasses or transgressions. And in the King James, it renders it as trespasses. So it's a legitimate translation. Okay? It is.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you, and have a great day. I appreciate the time.
All right. God bless. All right.
Take care.
Okay. All right, let's get to Amor from North Carolina. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt, how are you? Look, I listen to you every day. I'm not a first-time caller. Called you several times. But okay. I really like you to call because I really like all your topic previously about the Catholic and everything. I listened to it the whole time, being in the from the Philippines originally, and all my relatives, especially my sister, still a devout Catholic, and she's even a leader in the church in my town. So I really appreciate all what you do, continue what you're doing. And I've even thinking myself, when I retire from work here in America, I might go to the Philippines in my town and do like a Matt Slick Bible study, because they are all devout Catholic. 85-90% of the Philippines are Catholic, and I really like the way you explain they are a false, they are not the truth, they are not in the Bible, according to the Bible and everything. And my sister, the more I talk to her, the more all my relatives are mad with me. But That's okay. I'll deal with them, Ben. But anyway, it's about to end your show. I got something to tell you. I really admire and praise you when you argue with the Mormons, the Muslim, and everything. You tell everything. And other stuff. And I really admire how your patience, you know. If I were you, I would just say, you are wrong, you stupid. I really admire how you argue with them. And you know they are wrong. They just continue arguing with you. And I admire your patience to explain to them I said, Matt, we're going to get you on this thing. You're wrong. So I admire what you do, and I continue listening to you, Matt.
Well, thank you. Appreciate that. You reminded me of something, because when I was in the Philippines doing mission work 5 years ago, we went to a radio station, and they were Christian, not Catholic, and they were shocked. This is a nice little sub-story, but they were shocked. They go, you're Matt Slick from CARM. We know about CARM, which was really nice to hear. I was really surprised by that. But I've been thinking about this every now and then. I would love it if they would just take my show, make sure it's okay with our radio host station and all that, and just play.
Do you have a show in this? Do you have, with the internet and everything, I think I told some of my friends that I put your show in Facebook, in my Facebook, so I told them to check Matt Slick. He's good, I said to them. So I'm trying to tell about you there, in just my town, but the
See
Philippines right
find...
now is still 90% Catholic.
Yeah, see if you can find a radio station there who might want our show, and they could just play it, download the podcast. They could play with it. They could play it if they want. I wouldn't have any problem. I could talk to the guys at the station, see if there are some people out there who would do that. Okay?
Okay, that's a good idea, man. Let me check on this one. Let me check what I can do about this. But I really admire what you do. I like when you argue. I listen when you argue, like, Matt just says they're stupid. I know you try to explain to them, and this Muslim guy, Mormon, Catholic, and I really admire how you answer them. But I know you've been doing this for many, many years, so you know how to do this. So, but Matt, I really love listening to you every day, and continue what you're doing. God bless you, man.
Hey, well, God bless, and thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it. Okay.
Thank you, man.
All right. Well, hey, we've got about 30 seconds left, and we won't be able to take any more calls. That's a good thing, because we don't have any more right now. But if you do want to give me a call, you've got to wait until tomorrow, and I hope the Lord blesses you tonight. I also hope that if I've said something you don't like, well, check it out with Scripture. Always check what I say against the Word of God. I'm not saying I always have the right answer, but I always want to have the Word of God guide my answers. And if I'm wrong, show me from God's Word, because maybe I am. Maybe you're right. But it has to be based on God's Word. All right, there you go. There's the music. I'm out of here. May the Lord bless you, and by His grace, we'll be back on here tomorrow, and we'll talk to you then. Have a good evening. God bless. Bye.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.